Welcome to another episode in our OT and IoT Security Podcast. I'm your host, Sandra Keene, and joining me today to talk about the journey from cybersecurity startup to industry leader is Edgard Capdeville. Edgard is president and CEO at Nozomi Networks. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Edgard, you've been an advisor and leader in tech startups for over 15 years, and you've been involved in some pretty big success stories during that time. These include Data Domain, which was acquired by EMC before it joined forces with Dell. You also helped threat detection provider Caspita and data management platform creator Datos.io grow through investment, advice, and collaboration. That's quite a track record. So I'm wondering what the most memorable experiences have been for you in the past 10 years.
Wow, that's a really good question. I have been lucky, and it's been an honor to be part of several successes, whether it's been as a team member or as an advisor. The most formative, let me start with formative. Data Domain has been the most formative experience for me. Data Domain, as you mentioned, was a rocket ship. It was acquired by EMC after EMC succeeded in a bidding war with NetApp. And it was formative because of the leadership of Frank Slootman. That was an incredible lesson on business execution. Frank, of course, went on to lead ServiceNow. And as the date of this podcast, his new company, Snowflake, is going IPO with a 2x pop. It's incredible what he can do as a leader. And the culture that he built at Data Domain, along with the rest of the management team, and I'm sure many others, was formative for me. I understood what, after several experiences, what is required to run a execution machine, a tight ship. So that's probably the most formative experience that I've had. Now, the most rewarding experience, of course, has to be Nozomi Networks, is where I've being joined by a fantastic management team. I've seen the management team and myself grow through the growth of the company, facing and succeeding in different challenges. And one of the things that is absolutely the most rewarding is that we enter this market basically, you know, last. We were the last one to launch, the last one to get funded, the last one to do a lot of things. And now, as of the date of this recording, we're basically in a two-horse race with one other competitor having passed everybody else and coming in from behind has created kind of our try harder or underdog culture that always wants to do better. So that's probably the most rewarding for me.
I also saw on your LinkedIn profile that you follow Meg Whitman, who helped eBay go from $7 million in sales to, I think it was $8 billion over a 10-year period. And you also follow Bill Gates, Richard Branson, and Tony Robbins, among others. That's quite a mix of characters. So what is it about these visionaries that interests you?
Well, I admire a lot of people. These are just the LinkedIn influencers. I think following these leaders and just being very connected with others in general is my way of having or incorporating continuous learning into my development. So I admire what they do. I try to follow what they do and how they approach problems. I think continuous learning is extremely important, and mentorship as part of continuous learning is very important. You should have mentors that have a lot more experience than you. I think everybody should have a peer group that they feel comfortable exchanging mentorship experiences. And I think everybody should also mentor others, because I think that not only is a kind of give it back type of gesture, but in giving others, you also continue to learn. So as part of continuous learning, I highly recommend doing those three things: having experienced mentors mentor you, having a peer group, maybe even independent from your company, where you can actually on a collegial way exchange experiences on a peer basis, and then also mentor others, because that solidifies your own learning. So continuous learning is probably the underlying theme there.
Well, that's a great philosophy. So what do you think makes a great leader, whether it's someone who leads a country or a company?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think that I have it cut down to five things that a great leader should do well. And I'm going to try to stick with business leader, company leader. The first thing that a leader is hired to do and he or she must do really well is to nail down corporate strategy, have a plan and the right plan. That's number one. And number two, you really have to be able to provide the resources required to execute that plan. And that usually comes in the form of venture capital or money injection of some form. The third item really has to do with getting the right team on board. So having the right executive team, having the right team building muscles. As part of number four, you need to communicate your strategy effectively, repeat it as early as often as you can through the entire organization. Make sure those communication channels are built so everybody understands how what they do every day is related to the overall plan. And then the last one is probably the toughest one, which is, you know, you have to measure performance. And that's the one that may be uncomfortable. We all have our, we all want to, you know, be liked, and we all want to be nice to others. And sometimes when you keep or hold people accountable, whether it's formally via OKRs or informally, when you see a behavior that is not appropriate for the company or for the level of performance that's required, that becomes uncomfortable, and you sometimes are seen as the bad guy. And in a company setting, while you do want to follow the culture, which usually involves kind of feeling that you're part of this family and feeling that you're friendly with people, that may be one of the places where, you know, it becomes uncomfortable for people to hold others accountable for a missed goal or a missed level of performance, as you may not come off as a nice person. But you owe it to the company to hold your team and your peers accountable for the agreed upon goals. So those are the five things that I think are required for a leader to be really good. Of course, there's many others, but those are the key that I would highlight.
And how do you incorporate values like those into your role as leader of Nozomi Networks?
So as part of leading Nozomi, of course, I believe that we have a fantastic plan to win in this business. It's been showing that not only do we have a good plan, but we keep executing. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I'm really proud about Nozomi is that we've come from behind to be the leader of the pack here. And that is a testament to a great strategy, a great team. We've been able to secure and deploy capital as we have needed it. I think if you look at our themes, our culture pillars, and everybody is going to know at any point in time how they can contribute to advancing success in the company. And I think our culture, whether it's by the implementation of our OKRs and other performance models, we do a pretty good job in keeping each other accountable. So when I, obviously, first you asked me to lay out the criteria and then rank us against that criteria, I feel we're doing a pretty good job.
Well, it's thanks to that great teamwork and the corporate culture that the company has been able to achieve the phenomenal growth that we have on such a global scale. So Nozomi right now has some of the biggest names in healthcare and pharmaceuticals, along with oil and gas, power and transportation on its customer list. What do you think the secret sauce is that compels these sector leaders to choose Nozomi?
Well, I think people make positive commentaries on our customer obsession. Customer obsession is what we use and say in our culture pillars, but it translates for our customers into, you know, how we align ourselves towards a long-term partnership, where we make our success their success, and we try to create a very short feedback loop between, you know, what the way they perceive our products and how we want kind of react and respond based on that feedback. So that's number one, and that's encoded into one of our cultural pillars. The other one, I think it's been one of our competitive advantages is that we have a very nimble organization when it comes to deploying sales teams, responding to support cases, developing new features, moving left, right, reacting to a fast evolving market. Our nimble organization has made us easy to do business with, keeping with the fast speed of innovation and keeping with the changing requirement of our customers. So those are the two things that consistently come out. Most of me is focused on long-term partnerships and making our customers successful. And Nozomi is extremely nimble. It can react fast to the ever-changing requirements of customers in the market.
So you joined the company back in 2016. What do you think the biggest differences are between now and when you first came on board?
Wow, yes. Well, the company has changed a lot. And many things have changed. So I'll start by mentioning the one that I miss the most. When I joined in 2016, the company, we were seven people. We had five to 10 customers. It was a small, tight group. And what I miss about that is that brainstorming was easy. And brainstorming not just within the management team, which at the time was just three people, but just brainstorming in general. You could approach anybody to brainstorming. Now that we're a larger company, we for scalability purposes, you know, sometimes if you are in the wrong place at the wrong time and you're brainstorming, your brainstorming commentary can turn into corporate policy really fast. So, hey, I had an idea. I made this comment in this room, and now Edgar, you know, approved the new policy of the company, and that is obviously a job that in a larger company has to be couched. So that early brainstorming feeling is one that I miss. I would say that in that vein, large companies have less room to keep things informal. So adding structure for us to scale is key, is necessary. But it also adds that formality to it. A lot of things are still the same. So I love the fact that my relationship with the founders is more solid than ever. Our friendship has evolved and matured, but it's there and very solid. This feeling of underdog that we really try harder continues to exist and continues to make us better. There are several things that you know, the company remaining very, very nimble in this evolving market, even though now we're one or maybe even two orders of magnitude larger than we were when we started. So a lot of things have changed. A lot of things are the same. It's ever changing.
Well, I guess one of the benefits of growing and having now a team all over the world is that we're also engaged with customers in different industries, and you know, we can see trends of what's coming up and work to address the new needs. Where do you think security for critical and industrial infrastructure is heading?
Well, the convergence between IT and OT and now with IoT is going to continue. Not only continue, but continue to accelerate. And the beautiful thing about Nozomi and the Nozomi strategy is that we are always applying the fact that we have seen this movie before. The convergence, I mean, we have created our strategy around the convergence of other industries into the world of IT or IP. And, industrial and IoT may have some differences here and there in terms of how the story of convergence is going to happen, but those differences are not gigantic. So I would start there. The convergence is going to accelerate, continued sharing of technology, sharing of practices, unification of teams, unification of policies, unification of requirements. And this is all part, of course, of this massive tectonic shift, which we're calling digital transformation. In which Nozomi is an enabler, continues to be an enabler, and we're going to continue to develop ourselves to continue to be an enabler to empower and secure and accelerate digital transformation.
So what advice do you have for startup CEOs who look at Nozomi's early success and want to follow in your footsteps?
The first thing that I would say is that Nozomi's success cannot be attributed to me. The Nozomi's success, it really takes a village. So it has to do with the founders who had a fantastic early start, with every team member that has joined and has pedaled forward. I have played a role, but the success is shared. But in terms of taking on a role and taking on a challenge, what I would say is, first of all, you're never ready. So you better just do it. In my own career, I felt that I've been training for a role like this for a long time. And I think, you know, my personality has always told me, okay, you need to train a little more, or this is another angle that you need to train on. And at the end of the day, it's like driving a bus or looking to get hired as a bus driver. If you want to get hired as a bus driver, the best training that you can do is to drive a bus. There's no other training. So similarly, if you have the inclination to become a leader, the best thing is just to do it. You are going to make mistakes. Make sure that you keep in mind the five practices or directives that we just covered on. You know, make sure you're doing your job well, you know, from corporate strategy, providing capital, providing the team, communicating your strategy, keeping people accountable, all that, those stuff, you have to get good at. And when it comes to a startup like Nozomi, you know, the team, of course, is fundamentally important when you join, but when you join, there is only a little bit of a team. After all this time, and by talking to a lot of people that invest in early stage startups, what I would say is the number one factor for a success in a company, and this is not necessarily going to be intuitive, maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but the number one factor for a venture's success is market timing. If you get market timing right, you can be forgiven on a lot of things. You know, you may not have the perfect team right away, you may not have all the money that you need, but if you get good market timing, you can still, you know, overcome. If you get market timing wrong, it doesn't matter what kind of product it doesn't matter what you have, you're out. So as people have the ambition to be leader in a fantastic company like Nozomi is, I've been extremely lucky. You have to A, just go for it, but B, the one thing you should assess 2, 3, 4 times is market timing.
Great advice. Thank you, Edward, for telling us your story today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. Good questions.
And thanks to those listening for joining us to learn about Edgar's contribution to the success of Nozomi Networks. Please check out the other podcasts in this series to hear more about our team and learn how we're working together to develop cybersecurity technology that makes the world a safer place. Thanks again.